ISIS Audiobooks presents an unabridged recording of Small Gods, written by Terry Pratchett and read by Nigel Planer. Now, consider the tortoise and the eagle. The tortoise is a ground-living creature. It is impossible to live nearer the ground without being under it. Its horizons are a few inches away. It has about as good a turn of speed as you need to hunt down a lettuce. It has survived, while the rest of evolution flowed past it, by being on the whole no threat to anyone and too much trouble to eat. And then, there is the eagle. Creature of the air and high places, whose horizons go all the way to the edge of the world. Eyesight keen enough to spot the rustle of some small and squeaky creature half a mile away. All power, all control. Lightning death on wings. Talons and claws enough to make a meal of anything smaller than it is, and at least take a hurried snack out of anything bigger. And yet the eagle will sit for hours on the crag and survey the kingdoms of the world until it spots a distant movement, and then it will focus on the small shell wobbling among the bushes down there on the desert, and it will leap. And a minute later, the tortoise finds the world dropping away from it, and it sees the world for the first time, no longer 1 inch from the ground, but 500 feet above it, and thinks, "What a great friend I have in the eagle." And then the eagle lets go. And almost always the tortoise plunges to its death. Everyone knows why the tortoise does this. Gravity is a habit that is hard to shake off. No one knows why the eagle does this. There's good eating on a tortoise, but considering the effort involved, there's much better eating on practically anything else. It's simply the delight of eagles to torment tortoises. But of course, what the eagle does not realize is that it is participating in a very crude form of natural selection. One day, a tortoise will learn how to fly. The story takes place in desert lands, in shades of umber and orange. When it begins and ends is more problematical, but at least one of its beginnings took place above the snow line thousands of miles away in the mountains around the hub. Or, if you're a believer in Omnianism, the pole. One of the recurring philosophical questions is, does a falling tree in the forest make a sound when there is no one to hear? Which says something about the nature of philosophers, because there is always someone in a forest. It may be only a badger, wondering what the cracking noise was, or a squirrel, a bit puzzled by all the scenery going upwards, but someone. At the very least, if it was deep enough in the forest, millions of small gods would have heard it. Things just happen, one after another. They don't care who knows. But history, history is different. History has to be observed. Otherwise, it's not history. It's just, well, things happening one after the other. And of course, it has to be controlled. Otherwise, it might turn into anything. Because history, contrary to popular theories, is kings and dates and battles. And these things have to happen at the right time. This is difficult. In a chaotic universe, there are too many things to go wrong. It's too easy for a general's horse to lose a shoe at the wrong time, or for someone to mishear an order, or for the carrier of a vital message to be waylaid by some men with sticks and a cash flow problem. Then there are wild stories, parasitic growths on the tree of history, trying to bend it their way. So, history has its caretakers. They live, well, in the nature of things, they live wherever they're sent, but their spiritual home is in a hidden valley in the high ramtops of the Discworld, where the books of history are kept. These aren't books in which the events of the past are pinned like so many butterflies to a cork. These are the books from which history is derived. They're more than 20,000...